able to come back again and again. Such like. But how to have contact with that God? The God which is manifested in the human body. So as a matter of reverence, Master sometimes speak of, if God is standing there in human form and God is manifest, both are standing before us. One side God is standing, the other side the human form in which God is manifest. Who should pay reference? Naturally, the human form at which God is manifest, because if he does not meet us, how can we have love for God? Unless we see him. So manifesting God in man gives us an experience of the God in us. So as a matter of reverence, we say, all right, we should bow down to the God in man rather than God in man. Because the latter can only be contacted through the love of God which is manifest in man already. That is why they say, I will bow down to the human form in which is manifest. And then pay obeisance to the God. So this is as a matter of reverence. Godman can be the greater of God, mind that. But for the God in him, we pay respect to him because for him only we have been able to see, have some glimpse of God. So Kate, we have to, should serve first God and then the God in man. Both are good things which are lead us to the way back to God, to eternal life. Why God? Because by coming in contact with God only we can be emancipated from the wheel of transmigration. And to the God in man, because he gives us a contact with the God in us. You see? So both things are inseparable. Without the one, you cannot do the other. So the love of God is the love of God in man, and the love of God in man is the love of God. So Maulana Rumi says, if you come nearby such a human form in God is manifest, you are nearer to God. You are sitting by him. You want to sit in the presence of God, then sit in the presence of some human pole at which he is manifest. For example, there is a powerhouse. One switch is in tune, contacted with the powerhouse. If you sit by the switch, which is such like, you see, it is just sitting quite close to the powerhouse. These are some things you need to explain, certain things. This electricity is pervading all through creation, all through. But that does not do us any good. Unless that electricity is just collected together in some powerhouse, and that any switch which is in contact with the powerhouse, it does wonders of us for us. So both things are necessary. Love of God, because that's the ultimate goal that will bring us to his home, give us eternal life. And the human pole in which is manifest. Because the God in him only can give us a contact with God. So both things are necessary. So, whom you go, you have got love, you see. The outward experience what we can have of the love of God is the constant remembrance, sweet remembrance of God. Which you can never forget. Whom you love, you are always remembering in your heart of hearts. You are attracted like anything. How that love dwelt when the child is born. Mother has been loving her, the child. Naturally, he has got affinity as a heart with the mother. For little things, he never forgets. For little, everything, he always remembers mother. He must go to her life. Whether he dies, or any trouble also, he will always just go to the lap of the mother. So constant contact with the mother has created love in the child too. It is first he who loves us, not I. So it is the Godman who loves us. And our love is only reciprocal. Whom you love, that is where will you go? Where he? If he is not in the transmigration, he has got the eternal home, you will also go to his home, never to return. Now, whom you remember in the heart of hearts, that reaction there, whom you love in him. So God says in the Quran, Holy Scripture of the Mohammedans, God says, I love those who love me. I remember those who remember me. If we love God, naturally, there is a reaction in his heart. But whom, as we really remember, you see, love him, whom we have got contact with him. That contact which we can have, it is already in us, controlling power in us, keeping us in the body. So man body is this temple of God in which God resides and we also reside. You see? So constant remembrance, sweet remembrance is bliss giving, you see. Especially in cases when man has a contact with that thing. Whether you have seen him who has enjoyed his love, that love becomes embedded in your heart, you see. Moses once was he said he was the best lover of God in the world. So he requested God to let him know anybody else who loves him. So they say that God sent him to a bird sitting on a tree. He went to him. He talks, well, are you going on all right? Mm-hmm. Said, yes. Is there any difficulty with you? Experience can say there's one difficulty. I'm very much in trouble. And what is that? He says, here's a spring of water flowing under the tree. The time that takes me from flying from the true tree to go down to that pool of water, that time is very much trouble because I forgot the name of it. For the time I'm sipping that water, you see. So Moses was ashamed to see that even a bird has got more love of God rather than me. So this is something to show whether we have love for God. God ordered Abraham to sacrifice what is most dear to him. And he first sacrificed a lamb, then a camel. Then he took his son to be sacrificed in the name of God, and God stopped. They turned into sheep. Anyhow, God wants, love demands every sacrifice from us. Why is that? Who is the lover of God? Who can sacrifice everything for the name of God? Can we? Can we judge we have got love for God? For trifling things you say, we have no time to remember God, you know. To love, need, sacrifice of everything, even of your life. What to speak of out of it? To love is God and God is love, you see. Whom should we love? We should love God. We are conscious entities, we should love God because it's all consciousness. We are drop of the ocean of all consciousness. And next to him, whom should we love? Where God is manifested. It is not for the human soul we love him, but for the God manifested in the human soul. Of course, that is blessed in which he is manifested. Why? For service, two things are very essential. One, the love of God. The other, love of the human soul at which he is manifested. The God in man or man in God. For the latter, because it gives a contact with God within us. And for the former, because by coming in contact with him, we reach our true home, never to return. So we have love for the God in man. Where will he go? Where he will go? He comes from the house of our father. It is God who sends him to the world. If you love him, God loves him. And Christ said, yes, those who love me, he loved my father. And when he loved my father, I manifest myself into him. So these are the words you see expressed by almost all masters who came to power. So for service there are two things, most essential. One, love of God. We are loved, innate in our soul. It had to be attached to somebody. Unfortunately, it has been attached to the world outside, material world. So we are coming again and again and again to the world. Because we are love, we have to go. If we develop love in us for God, which is a very controlling power within us, then naturally we will go to his home, to the home of our Father. But to go there, the intermediary way is God in man. If we love God in man, naturally that is love of God. That creates, develops love in us for God. So that is why, you see, people say that the love of God, man, is the love of God. For the latter, first step is necessary. Because he opens our inner eye to see the God into expression power. So the question was, for that we have to sacrifice everything, you see. Now we can judge where we stand. The highest aim, as I told you, in man's body is to know God, to reach God, to go back to our Father's home. We'll go where we are attached, whose love we have dwelt in us. We have been coming again and again to the world. Why? Because we are attached to the world. Now in man's body you got fortunate, we have this man's body, the highest rung in creation. If we dwell love in us for God, through the grace of a God in man, then we will go where? To our home, to the home of our Father. For this purpose we have to dwell love for the God in man. Teacher of a man is a man, like us. It talks from our level and does love in us, give the contact within us, opens the inner eye to see the love of God, to see the light of God and the music of all spheres. So we have come to know, remain in any religion you like, you see. The main purpose is to go back to our home, to the home of our Father. And also, while on earth, we should have what? Peaceful life. We can only have peaceful life if we dwell love for all. For all, why? For the God in them. Why? We are all brothers and sisters in God. We are conscious entity, drops of the ocean of all consciousness. So by loving, by love, you see, if it is directed to right source, it gives us peace here and hereafter God. May thy kingdom come on earth. This is what is meant. So whom should we love? God. How can we love God? For the God is man. Who will take contact with that? The love of God, man, is the love of God. Where will he go? He is overflowing with the love and intoxication of God. He is not bound to the earth. He is sent here to guide the child humanity and go back to his home. If we love him, where we will go? Where he goes? If he is not to return to the world, why should we return? How can we return? You follow me? These two things are very essential. So this is among the six, you see, there's a prayer always. Oh God, grant us love, the company of those who are mouthpiece of the God in man, or who are the God in man. The peaceful mouthpiece of the God, of the one who is God in man, who is manifest, the God in man is manifested in him, and the God in man and God. such a society in which I should, my love always is directed to you. Such life, society which is, it is the very highest, I think, prayer we can have. Oh God, let us be those people in which you are manifest, who are overflowing with the love of you. You see? Such like society, oh God, grant us. For such like people, you see, how long till the end of the world? Any lover wants to die in the lap of his beloved, is it not? All through life. Even up to the last breaths we have to take, you see. Why? Such like people, you see, love of them will lead us to love of God. It is really a love of God, you see. Loving a God man is the love for the God in him, naturally it is love of God. Such like people where they laid their feet, those became places of pilgrimages. Christ was born in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of others were born there. Not for that reason, because so many thousands were born there, but for Christ he was born there. So that place was sanctified by the birth of a man. Makkah, Medina, there it is sanctified by the Prophet Muhammad. So that is the place of pilgrimage for all Muslims in the world. Jerusalem is a place of pilgrimage for all the Christians in the world. In all other places, you will find the where the places have become the places of pilgrimages because some saint, some God in man, resided there, lived there. For that, in those places have become respectable. You see? And further, why? Because they can, our soul, which is just identified with the body in outward attachments, he is competent to withdraw our soul from us, attention from outside, raise up, drag up from the level of the outward faculties, and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan, who is there to bring you back to the world? So this is for that reason, you see. You may have been, you see, away from God from thousands of years back. But once you meet a God in man, he gives you contact with God. If you dwell that, then naturally your coming and going is ended. You go back to your home, you see. So love of God needs implicit obedience to him. To love the world study of God in man is the true love of the God in man. Not mere outward obeisance, but the respect of the words, to the words he expressed, to live up to them, you see. We should, that God in man is already resides in the world personified within us by giving the content of the world within us. So when he is there, resides himself there with you, and you don't transcend any limitations, any things, what he says, you should abide by and not transcend them. If such a man is there, then he need not fear all the world or anybody. He will be beloved of God. Who is loved by the Master, is loved by the Father, God in him. And whom the God loves, then Christ says, I will manifest myself. God appears in the form of God in man. It is the grace of God which affords us that privilege. And once he is manifest in us, he talks to us just as that. We talk outside. He is our counselor, unpaid, in all our affairs, outward and inner, both. So we have to, this today's talk was about whom should we love and why. Should love God for the sake of the love of God, that is who, in whom God is manifested. He can teach us, he can give us a contact with God. So love God first, then love the God in man next, and no other. For all others, we should have love because All souls are the conscious entities of the ocean of all consciousness, and all bodies are controlled by God, that controlling power. So naturally he loves God, he loves all creation, whether animate or inanimate. This we have to do, you see, in the man body only, which we fortunately have got. And for that purpose we go to the feet of some God in man. And that also, who did such the grace of God? No son of man can do it, you see. It's all grace of God. When that grace descends, he is brought in contact with somebody at whose he imposed his benefit. Blessed are they who have such a partner, such a society, such a company. That is a sign, that foreshadow that they are going back to their homes, to homes, you see. तो आप समझे भाई, किससे प्यार करना चाहिए? बड़ी मोटी बात, परमात्मा जो जन्म से रहता है, उसके बाद ऐसी ऐसी जिसके अंदर वो प्रगट फॉर द गॉड इन हिम, उसका प्यार दोनों ही चाहिए। पहले के लिए प्यार इसलिए चाहिए कि वो तक प्रभु प्रगट और हमें प्रगट कर सकता, पूजी दे सकता, और दूसरे के लिए इसलिए कि उसके मिलने से जन्म खत्म हो सकता है, हमेशा के लिए हम प्रभु के घर में जा सकते हैं। तो किसी समाज में रहो, समाजों में कोई फर्क नहीं, यही तालीम है जो हर एक समाज में, दिस इज वेरी टीचिंग गिवन इन ऑल रिलीजन, ऑल मास्टर्स हु केम द पाथ दे गिव द सेम टीचिंग। एंड दिस ऑफ कोर्स वी हैव नॉट टू ओनली रीड आउट और हेयर इट, बट जस्ट द मोस्ट पार्ट ऑफ इट वी जस्ट हैव इन आवर ओन लाइफ टू लिव अप टू दैट लेवल। And the more nearer we are to God, and the more we derive the most benefit from the man body we have got here. So, bhai, ye baatein jo aapko samjhai jaati hain, ye samjhne ke liye nahi, karne ke liye. Agar karo to mere 2 mahine, 4 mahine jeevan badal jayega. Sunte bahut hai, kyunki hamara jeevan hai nahi. Isliye sunkar ek kaan se suna, dusre se nikal diya. या एक कान से सुना से मुंह से निकाल लिया लोगों को सुनाने के लिए, और अपने जीवन में उसका कोई हिस्सा नहीं आया, तो क्या फायदा? ये बातें तो मैं ग्रंथ पोथी में बड़ी पड़ी है, फिर उसको थोड़ा सा डाइजेस्ट करके आपके सामने पेश किया जाता है। नो न्यू थिंग, सो ऑल दिस व्हाट इज गिवन टू यू, इट इज ओनली व्हाट द मास्टर्स हैव द राइट व्यू ऑफ दीस थिंग्स, यू सी, दीस आर गिवन इन बुक्स। Some people hear for 1 year and they go out from through the other year. Other people hear and give it through the mouth to tell other people you know so much. Both these things don't give you any real benefit. Unless that very thing forms a part and parcel of your life. The food that is digested gives you strength. Otherwise, that will result in diseases, you see, vanity and other things. भाई ये बात आपने सुनी, इसके जीवन में रोज दिन कोई ना कोई एस्पेक्ट आपके सामने आता, कभी एक, कभी दूसरा, कभी तीसरा, कभी चौथा, पता लग गया उसके साथ लिव करना शुरू कर दो जीवन पटक। बाकी ये रहा भाई भजन के लिए, भजन बहुत जरूरी है, उस भजन को संभालने के लिए डायरी जहां जरूरी है वो जरूर रखो। तो वो जब आते हो पहले भजन बैठ जाओ, डायरी रखो, नहीं जिसका बनता वो अलहदा समझ कर बैठ जाए करो, ताकि जो फायदा, ये सिर्फ इंफॉर्मेशन है कि लिव अप करना है ना भजन की मोह, जिसका भजन नहीं बना उसका कुछ नहीं बना। जिन्हें झगड़े रगड़े हैं सिर्फ भजन के नाम नहीं, हम कहा आ जाता मैं बहुत कुछ जानता हूँ, मैं हाथ हूँ, हर एक नहीं मरता, काल का कायदा है हर एक नहीं मरता, बंद कहो काल कहो, हर एक को अपनी अपनी जो मेरे समझते कि मेरे सिवा कुछ नहीं हो सकता, मैं ही सब कुछ हूँ, अरे मैं सारे मिलकर उसी एक की सेवा करनी है, ऑल लेबरर्स द विनयार्ड ऑफ गॉड, परमात्मा की खेती बहुत है, फसल बहुत है, लेबरर्स आर वांटेड। गनीमत समझो जिनको ये सेवा मिल जाए, उनको ज्यादा हम्बल होना चाहिए, निम्र होना चाहिए, वो भी यहाँ का हमारे सिवा क्या करते हैं, उसी का झगड़ा क्या है, इसी को छोड़ने के लिए आए थे किसी महापुरुष के चरणों में और वही बीमारी वहां और अकड़ कर होगी तो क्या है। तो महापुरुष हमारे जो सुनाया करते थे, बछड़ा दूर से आकर दूध पी जाता और चमचीचड़ पास रहने वाला खून पीता रहता। गाय के थनों पर चमचीचड़ खून पीता, दूध तो नहीं पीता ना। तो पास रहना बड़ी बरकत, इससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ। पर उसमें अगर मैं बना आ गया तो गया मारेगा। आपस को कर कछु न जुड़ा बानिए तो बड़ी सा जो समझ लगे मेरे साथ नहीं हो सकता, अरे भाई उसको फायदा नहीं मिल सकता। तो भाई माने जन से पूरा फायदा उठाओ, आपको सत्संग मिलता है इससे भी पूरा फायदा उठाओ। क्या भाई आओ I was just telling about love. Very many people say they know love. What is love? And we also repeat now and then, what is love? Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. Love is innate in our souls. And the way back to God is also love. That there is love innate in our soul. That requires somebody to love and to be loved by somebody. That is a natural desire of everybody. Our souls are conscious beings. This should have loved all consciousness, all God, all consciousness. Instead of that, our soul has been just attached to the worldly thing, material thing. Result is, wherever you have love, you will go there where you have love, you have got love. The soul had to love God, which is very controlling power within this man body, temple of the man body. It has been attached to the body and its environments and outgoing faculties and enjoyments of all lusts outside. The reason is we have been enslaved. We are coming again and again, we are attached. If our soul is attached to God, which is the controlling power within this very man body, that is eternal. And that is something beyond eternity. So the soul becomes free. All free, not in bondage. So difference between the two is, one is love. Love is one which once had cannot be broken, even by leaving the body too. And that is the love which is just dwells in the body, but just absorbed in our soul, you see, not in the body and its environment. So one is called lust, attachment, the other is called love and charity. Vast difference between the two. Love of God makes us free, makes us all joy, all happiness, all bliss. And lust, the other side of it, love is lust or attachment that enslaves us, you see, that makes us very narrow-minded, attached to one. So in the worldly way, if you love somebody, you will be envy if anybody else loves that person. If you love God, those who love God, you love even them, you see, because they love God. So the love of God gives you all love for all the world over. And love of outside things will only make you narrow-minded, close-fisted, you see. Result is, one lives to God, the other leads to the world. Ever since we have left the home of our true father, we have been attached to outside things. Naturally, because our love has been just misfitted with the worldly things, physical body and outside environment. So what is the criterion of love, true love or charity, that starts from the body but absorbs our attention to our soul and higher self. And the other is just keeps you attached to the physical body and outward environment. To meet with your own wishes, that is no love in the true sense of the word. That love gives you bondage and slavery. And ever since we left the home of our father, we have been going round and round and round and not yet found way back to our own father's home. There was one Majnu. He was the lover of Lala. Lala was a princess. So she was everything to him. He was asked, the Khilafat, that is the prototype on earth. After Prophet Muhammad, Khilafat next to God, this is a title given to devoted to God, that title given to that amongst the Mohammedans. So that one Khalifa was dead, and that was asked, Majid was asked, whom should it be given? So he said, after Muhammad, should instead of being given to some Abu Hassan or anybody, no, I think it is the best suited man for the one is Laila, whom he loves, you see.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Helen von Aldenbruck. Are you there, Helen?
Yes, I am.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Today's talk is Master's talk that was written in on May 1970 of Satsandesh. The title of his talk is Spirituality, the Only Answer. It is said, thousands have seen you, O Satguru, but very few could see what you truly are. Who were those who saw the truth? Whomsoever he revealed it unto. Christ said that the Son knoweth the Father, and also to whomsoever the Son may reveal him. The child of light, the Master, sees, and so do others to whom he chooses to show the truth. What is a guru or master? All masters who have come have given various indications. First, we should remember that God is in each being and no heart is without him. But where he has manifested himself is beyond praise. A perfect master, therefore, though having a physical form, is something more than that. He may be seen going about the world like an ordinary person, but his soul has become the mouthpiece of God. Howsoever God's words come, that knowledge is imparted to you direct. His physical form seems to be imprisoned in the world like all others, but in fact, he can fly beyond the Brahman at will, the Brahman consisting of the first three main divisions of creation. Who can give us news of God, and who can meet him? If he has no brother, father, or relatives, then who can arrange a meeting? It is a plain and simple question, to be answered without any philosophizing. One must know who can tell of God and who can give a contact with him. The masters speak of this matter in two or three ways. Excuse me. Some in the third person, like Kabir. Kabir says, we are the knowers of that far away home, bringing orders from the Most High. He explains that the masters know the secret of that true home, which is very far away, and that they bring instructions from God himself. to help the people to understand the truth. If people listen quietly to what the masters have to say, they will find that they give descriptions of their own through small stories or by indications, so that people may know who they really are. Baba Sawan Singh Ji once said, "When we come into this world, we bring our own staff to work with us. When the work is completed in one place, we are sent somewhere else. It is an indication of their elevated purpose in this world." The 10th Guru of the Sikhs says, "I was absorbed in God, as it were one. I was reluctant to come to the earth. God persuaded me to go and do the work, saying, 'I am sending you as my son.' Christ also said, 'I and my Father are one.'" Guru Arjan Sahib said, "Father and son are imbued in the same color." Shams Tabriz Sahib said, "Oh, my brothers, do not judge me by my outer apparel, old and torn. Just see within me what a great emperor I am. Outwardly, he seems to be poor and lowly. One should not dwell on the fact that he has no money, clothes, or house, but see within he is full of invaluable jewels." He once said, "I am a very big tabib, a doctor or specialist." People asked him, "Do you feel the pulse or look for disease in the eyes?" He replied, "I do not feel the pulse or look for eye diseases. I just enter into every pore by looking into the eyes." So they asked, "What medicine do you give?" He replied, "We, from Sat Lak or Sat Khan, the true region, draw on an elixir and freely give the same to all. We put life into the corpse." When I was in America, I gave a talk on December 25, the birth anniversary of Christ. I told the audience that Christ lived before Jesus. It is nearly 2,000 years since Christ was here, but he was here even before that. He indicated this by saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." Masters give indications or token references. The world is never without a master. Whenever God manifests himself in a certain human pole, we call that a master. So Guru is what God is. Born of the infinite, he who from the beginning to eternity is the same manifests himself in some human form and is called a Guru. Satguru is eternal. Do not think of him as merely a human being. God's true servant is like God himself. Do not consider there is any difference. O children of light, a guru is not a human being, for the guru is not the physical body, but in him God resides, who is the unchangeable permanence. The Guru comes whenever there is more sin in the world. When Guru Nanak Sahib came, the Hindus and Muslims were fighting against each other's religions. Kabir Sahib was also here at that time. They both taught that God is one, and all are his children, and all are embodied souls. The soul's caste is the same as whatever God's is. The religions were made to free us from all bonds but instead they became fetters. We started on the way to meet God, but halfway our mind came in between. We joined the religions to realize God, to know Him, to become one with Him, and to awaken in Him. But although we wear the various labels of religions, we have become prisoners of them. The same old custom corrupts itself, the same which were made for the noble purpose of knowing God, became stagnated or deteriorated. We have failed in our purpose. We thought we were in the army of God, but forgetting God, the armies began fighting each other. And in this way, millions of people died in the name of so-called religion. This fighting between religions was going on when Baba Sawan Singh Ji came. When Guru Nanak was asked, "Who are you?" he said, "If I say I am a Hindu, you will kill me. Muslim, I am not. I am that puppet made of five elements, which has the power to vanish within seconds." He tried to explain to them that although a Hindu by outer appearance, he would be killed if he admitted it because of the people's narrow-mindedness, and that he was not the kind of Muslim known by the outer forms and rites. When they persisted in knowing what he was, he described that his body was made of five elements, but he himself was actually that invisible power which is controlling the body. This is the great lesson that we have forgotten. The masters come again and again to revive this truth. And what is their first task? To bring all children of God together to sit on a common ground. When my master came, he had to bring together the Christians, Sikhs, Hindus, and Muslims. And what kind of foundation could he build for them? Feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. Those who see, their religion is one. Amidst the turmoil of those difficult conditions at that time, he suggested that a common ground be made on which the brothers of all religions could sit together, have chaste lives, and know God. He said it should be named Ruhani Spiritual College, or Ruhani School, or Ruhani Satsang. He was a free man and came to bring freedom to all mankind. When someone suggested to him that he should make another sect, he replied, "There are already so many wells. What is the use of digging another? The truth is already here, existent. All those who have seen it have the same thing to say. And those who have not seen continue to wrangle about it." My master's teaching was to sit all men together, that they might learn and understand that all mankind is one, born in the same way, having the same outer and inner construction. Man is ensouled body. Soul is of the same essence as that of God, and the same God power is controlling the soul in the body as well as the whole of creation. When in America, I gave a talk in the Unity Church in Chicago, telling them that although they had recently built that Unity Church, Unity has existed since the world began. From the level of man, we are one, with two eyes, nose, two hands, two feet, etc. From the level of the soul, we are conscious entities, and whatever type of worshipers we are, God is the same. He is not a Hindu, Christian, Muslim, etc. In this place where you are sitting at present, there is no ism upheld. A Hindu should remain a Hindu. Christian should remain a Christian. Muslim remain Muslim, and so on. Whichever religion you belong to, remain there and keep the outer observances. But the important work, which is most necessary, to know yourself and know God, that must be done. Truth is above all things, and true living, imbued with love, flavored with humility, is still higher than truth. An electric bulb, which is clean and polished, gives more light than one which is dirty. This was a lesson which my master used to teach. In this manner, he would help the simple people to understand the truth. Spirituality is the only hope left for the world. When Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru was alive, I once had a private talk with him for about 50 minutes. He listened to all that I said with much attention, and after that, in all his talks, he would say that only on the ground of spirituality can all men sit together, for the masses, for the social leaders, political and religious leaders. This is the only cure. We are all devotees of the same God, all human beings, all men. Outwardly, if your custom is to wear white, blue, or black, then wear it. There is no difference. But sit together. The Vedas, Hindu holy scriptures, say, sit amongst thousands and sing the praises of the Lord above. My master was inclined to revive the teachings of the Vedas, which are not new, but merely forgotten. They are the oldest of all the holy books, containing the words of many rishis and munis, holy men. The latest collection is the Guru Granth Sahib, in which are contained as many words of the masters as could be found and collected. We should respect all masters who have realized God, no matter in which age they came. In the Quran, it is written, we have sent masters to different places. Who is a true Muslim? He who keeps full faith in all true masters. And who is a true Sikh? He who believes in all that is written in the Guru Granth Sahib, the words of the masters. This book is like a banquet hall of spirituality. If this same lesson was taught in every family, in all religions, in every country, and in all walks of life, then peace would descend on all mankind. I had the chance of meeting many political leaders in the West during my tour, and I reminded them that they had been given children of God to take care of, and they should do so in the best possible way. Live and let others live. This is India's greatest principle. If those ruling a country cannot adequately provide for the need of those whom God has placed in their charge, then other countries should go to their assistance. What is the use of shedding the blood of millions? Many of the leaders understood and agreed. In two places, war was averted. I am raising these points simply because the only answer to all the difficulties in the world today is purely through spiritual science. Only on that ground can all men sit together in the name of God. Even when sitting together, problems do arise, for each man has a different way of thinking. Guru Arjan Sahib gave excellent advice for this. Get together, all my brothers, and let us get rid of all our differences. Learn to sit together. Try to change these dualities. We are already one, but on what kind of foundation can we sit? In the name of God, sit together, in remembrance of God, for we are all worshipers of the same Lord. There are many lovers, but the beloved is the same. Castes and religions are different, but the aim is the same. Does it not make us feel as one by just hearing these words? One more thing Guru Arjan Sahib has said on the subject, that it is necessary to sit at the feet of a God-realized soul, otherwise one will be misguided. He also says, a true gurumukh spreads that kind of prayer mat on which all religions can sit. What is a gurumukh? He who becomes the mouthpiece of the guru. What is a guru? He who is the mouthpiece of God. I am pointing out that all masters have said the same things, that any existing doubts may be removed. Kabir Sahib says, in this world, there is no greater giver than the guru. What the guru gives, no one in the whole world can give. What does he give? The guru gives that knowledge which cannot be had through the senses, and he shows the true path. He gives that which is above the senses and the mind, and he gives because he can give. He gives because he has got something to give. Those with worldly or bookish knowledge, with skill in oratory, cunningness, acting, or posing, cannot help in this field. Then who can give? By giving his whole life in devotion, he became one with God. Who is he? He has become one with God himself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God became one with Guru and distributed the Shabd. God becomes one with the Guru and joins back his children unto himself through the Guru. When God Absolute expressed himself, there was God in action. And if you cannot find God in action, you will never find God Absolute. This is the reason why the Guru has been praised higher than God himself. The God in action power is the same as the Absolute. The Absolute power is expressed in the Guru. However, a layman sometimes can understand better through the question of one past saint. Guru and God were standing together. Now, upon whose feet shall I fall? One is God absolute. The other is God in action. So to whom is one to bow down? One is the powerhouse. The other is the switch to hand. We have never seen the powerhouse, but the expression of that is near, which can be seen. Unless one has a contact with the God into expression power, God cannot be realized. So this is the true master, the true guru. We should also have great respect for the human pole, for God has made it with his own hands and has manifested himself in that heart. If after understanding this, one can still think of the guru as a mere human being, then he who thinks of the guru as only a man will for generation after generation go around in the lower forms. What is the value of an electric bulb if no light shines from it? The bulb should be clean and free from dust. Kabir says, the mind became pure, limpid, like the water of the Ganges. God then followed him, calling, Kabir, Kabir. It is good for the mind to become pure, that the light may shine forth as through a clear bulb. But even this is of no use if the attention is not on the light, but the attention is on the outer things. In all religion, there is repeated reference to the light. We are all worshipers of the living light. When the full effulgent light is lit in the physical form, then he is called the Khalsa, the pure one. What is the Khalsa? Guru Gobind Singh Ji says, the Khalsa is my own image. The Khalsa is my abode. The Khalsa is my complete true master. He also added, I take Guru Nanak Sahib as witness to what I am saying. So all masters regard everyone from the level of the physical form or the level of the soul or from the general controlling power in all, which in whatever heart it manifests is the true guru. A great guru drags the soul out. A great guru can drag the soul out from the human form, from out of suppression under the mind and senses, and join it back to the source. No less competent being can make this connection, for that which he gives is beyond the knowledge of the senses, and only that type of guru we should accept as our master. Who should accept him? Everyone, man or woman. That is the conclusion of today's talk. Beloved Master, we thank you for today's loving talk and for your grace and blessings which you shower upon us daily. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me, I'll do a count. So today there were 65 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this satsang to us. Now please hang up your phone.